the ninth plague of Egypt, darkness. It would foreshadow another darkness that would take place centuries later on Golgotha. Here's Pastor Chris.
In the torment of his soul, everything went black when he was on the cross to tell everyone whatever darkness God would require of mankind because of sin, Jesus took it right then and there. So that you will never go out into it if you believe in him.
This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We welcome you to the program and invite you to join us here in Exodus chapter 10. We're taking a look at verses 21 through 29. Here's Pastor Chris with today's broadcast.
Satan had set up a man of sin. Satan had set up an Antichrist. Remember, 2 Thessalonians says, seated over all that's called God, or that's worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. That's an Antichrist. You're starting to learn your God now. What do you think he's going to do in this situation? Flip out the lights. Just what he does. He hits the switch. Moses, I want you to walk out there, and I want you to stretch out your hands toward heaven. Put them up. And all of a sudden, as Moses does that, thick darkness comes. It goes dark. Now we know nations were talking about this by this time, that a temple of the light would be set up as a banner for the nations. But here's my point. Darkness was something that was going to be talked about in all the nations of the earth as God's judgment. This plague of darkness came at the end of a long teaching session now through all of these plagues about what? The human heart. The human heart. What should be the effect? You want to say to Pharaoh, what are you doing, man? Stop hardening your heart. Don't be stubborn. Stop refusing him who speaks. You realize the entire Bible applies this? Jesus used darkness extensively in his teaching. Extensively. In fact, in John chapter 12, you have the end of his teaching ministry to the Jewish nation. And then you have the events of the cross taking place, his leading up to that Passion Week there. But in John 12, he ends his teaching to the Jewish nation. And John 12 ends his teaching. You have essentially his last sermon to the Jewish nation. What do you think he said in his last sermon, last call? In John 12, we read that Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden. What were his last words? Put it this way. If this was the last sermon that Jesus ever chose for you to hear, it could be, by the way, what do you think he'd say? What would he choose to say to you? If you knew this was the last sermon you're going to hear, would you hear it differently right now? Would you pay attention? Would you still nitpick? I don't think so. Would you really listen? What would you do differently? Would you have regrets? Would you say, I wish I had listened? We're all used to this. We come here every week after week after week. We're here, we're challenged, and this goes on, and it's always gone on since the beginning of the world. This has always gone on. God has preserved his church, and he's preached, and he's preached, and he's preached, and he's preached. Here's his last sermon. Here's his last words to the Jewish nation. Last call. A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe the light, that you may become sons of light. Last sermon. It's Tuesday afternoon when he said it. Judgment day is the cross a few days away. All the while, Jesus has been among them doing powerful signs, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He's raised the dead, and he's been saying, come to me, I'm the light. Come to me, he says. Final plea, Language of walk in the light means come to the light, believe in the light, stand in the light, enjoy the light, be forgiven by the light. Well, last call for Egypt. Here it is. Before permanent darkness would overtake, you have this three-day window. And that is the divine decree. That is what he had allotted left, 3 days. The next thing it says is that deep darkness came over all the land of Egypt for 3 days. It was a darkness that could be felt. No one could move or rise for 3 days. Next to death, this was awful. They had 3 days to taste what it was like to be away from the presence of God. They had 3 days to experience his withdrawal and what outer darkness is like. Notice the first plagues were kind of a nuisance. We got a kick somewhat out of frogs and these sort of things. Now this has gotten intense. It's darkness that can be felt. It's indescribable, isn't it? They say that in those Lewis and Clark caverns, I mean, some of you have probably been down. You go down deep into these caverns, and then the guides will do, you know, you guys ready? You guys ready? We're going to turn out the lights now, and you're not really ready for it. And they turn out the lights, and it is something, let me tell you. Some guys got lost down there years ago when it was first being discovered. And 2 days later, they found one of them lying on his side. He thought he was sitting upright against the wall. Your depth perception's gone. He'd lost his mind and gone colorblind. If you were standing here, it said, completely silent, you know, no one moved for 10 minutes. I guarantee, this is what one of the guides said, if you were standing in here for 10 minutes in complete silence of darkness and no one moved, you would fall over. Darkness. It's a plague that never goes away, it seems. What is all this describing? Nothing we ever want to face. The great day of the Lord, Zephaniah 1, is near. It is near. And it hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There is mighty men. There mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble, of distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Here I have to preach as a pastor what nobody wants to preach or we hear very little about today, but it's hell. I know of no description better in the scriptures for us to get an understanding of what hell is going to be like for people. We don't hear a lot about it, but Jesus talked a lot about it. I hear today almost incessantly, all Jesus was about is love. He was also warning about judgment. In almost every connection to hell, he spoke of people being cast into outer darkness. I know of nothing more terrible than what's described, totally separated from all light, alone in blackness forever. That's what separation from God is like. Whatever we wake up to in the morning and we enjoy light and we are able to walk in light and have everything held together is because his presence is here. He's not far from any of us. They felt hell for a minute. It's awful. They didn't see one another, verse 23. In heaven, that's one of your blessings, by the way. You get to see one another. They couldn't. They couldn't get up. That's the experience of darkness. Here's what I want you to think about this morning. This was not new. You say, well, what a terrible thing. They were in it. Egypt was in darkness. Pharaoh was living in the darkness. What do you mean, Pastor? What do you mean he was already in the darkness? Everything that you're seeing right now go on in our country and in the world where decisions are made that are against God, that is darkness. They're living in it. They say that we've entered kind of a new Middle Ages of darkness, even in the church. 3 days. Last call. Repent. Turn to the light. Now, it's pitch black. We read that Pharaoh called for Moses. Here's my question. This, if you follow this question, I think it'll really help you with the plague this morning. Did the call come after the darkness had ended? Or was it during the 3 days of black darkness? Pharaoh, Moses! Moses! Before or after? Goshen's lit up, by the way. Did you catch that? They're in the light. I'm trying to capture what I believe is the imagery here. Moses was the light. He was able, in the previous plague, to walk out in the middle of the hailstorm and not get hit. Now, if I have the imagery right, he walks out into the darkness. Here's Goshen. He hears cries from Egypt. Moses! Sounds a little bit like a parable Jesus told. Abraham! Come! We're in the darkness and I need water for my tongue. Moses! He was just in the presence of God. Here's what I believe you have, and I believe Scripture interprets Scripture. His face is lit up. Moses' face is lit up. This would be something Israel was going to get used to seeing when he came down from the mountain in God's presence. He would come down from the mountain and that face was lit up. And they would have to put a veil over the face, and Paul applies that later. But that face was lit up. His face, he walks, his face is a light in the darkness. Moses in our scene approaches Pharaoh for the last time, last call. Pharaoh says, what do you expect? Every other time he said, take it away. You better never look on my face again. Whoa. Pharaoh called Moses and said, go, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Your little ones can go. Last time he tried to hold the kids, he seizes, you can go, but we're keeping your cattle. Does this guy have any sanity? He has no say in this whatsoever and doesn't even realize it in the darkness. He just won't surrender. He just won't bow to the will of God. Last week, not the children. Okay, the children can go. Cattle stay, Moses. Moses says, uh-uh. Pharaoh was probably hoping they'd all die in the wilderness without food. Moses is saying, which we're going to learn, the Lord wants us to present a sacrifice. And we haven't yet been instructed on what that worship's going to look like. The lambs go. He understands something. Pharaoh, no way. To which I say, the darkness was not just without. The darkness was within. We just won't bow. We just won't turn ourselves. We'll look at everyone else and point to us. The fundamental problem is the darkness in our hearts. And it's great. And here you receive this response of the light. I can't. We all go out. Not even a hoof stays. Isn't that awesome? Not even a hoof. Everything about us as a people comes out. Everything that belongs to us comes out. We don't belong to this world. All the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Are you amazed at the hardness and darkness yet? Does it trouble you? All he had to say was, think about this. God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all he had to say. He wouldn't say it. You ask, why don't people come to the light? When we have light in front of us, which teaches us of the true light, why don't people come to the light? Jesus told you. In the middle of saying, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then he said this, the part we never read after it. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Light came. And men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deed should be exposed. Explain that. He does not want to have what he loves going on in his life and in his heart behind closed doors ever exposed. He doesn't want light coming in there. People in darkness don't want to do what's right. They don't want what's right. In fact, they hate what's right. They won't come to the light because they don't want to stop what they're doing. They don't want to have their lives uncovered. All over the New Testament, it goes like this. But he who hates his brother is in what? Darkness. And walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because darkness has blinded his eyes. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Here's the end of it. Pharaoh says to Moses, you get away from me. Don't you ever look on my face again. And you think, what arrogance? Whose face? He's looking on his face. What just happened was Pharaoh said, I don't want your light anymore. Done. There's a breaking point when someone says, that's it. And in the face of light, they choose darkness and they walk forever into it. Read Romans 1. Never look on me again. Point of discipline where you have to say, okay, Moses, you chose it. So be it. I will never see your face again. That's a tragic moment in this study. Now, I want to lift you up as high as I can right now. Have you thought about how wonderful the grace of God is in your life that you know the truth and are in the light? Have you thought about it? You never earned it. You were never good enough for it. You never did enough that God said, wow, that's such a good son. I'm going to give him light. You were darkness. And in his wondrous love, he took us and conveyed us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his son in love. That's the gospel. And now, every time the Lord speaks of you, he wants you to make sure you're his Goshen. All over the New Testament. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of the light. Who's the light? Moses walks up on in there with a lit up face. Can you see Christ? I am the light of the world. He stood up to the multitudes. Hands up. Come to me. I'm the light. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but he's going to have the light of life. What a gospel call. Come to the light. Come to the light. Paul, when he was applying Moses' lit up face in 2 Corinthians 3, turned it to Jesus. And then he said this, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts, he lit up that dark heart with his light, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. His face radiates. His face is the light. He's the only light in this world. That's it. There's no other light. He's the light. You say, well, how do I know I'll never have to face this dreadful darkness forever and ever? How about this? Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the earth until the ninth hour. The sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And he cried out with a loud voice, that eternal darkness fell on his soul that day, 3 hours. In the torment of his soul, everything went black when he was on the cross to tell everyone, whatever darkness God would require of mankind because of sin, Jesus took it right then and there. So that you will never go out into it if you believe in him. And now you understand Revelation. It says there's no need for sun in Revelation. In the new heavens and the new earth, you don't need a sun, by the way. He is your light. You get to gaze on his face for eternity. The new heavens and the new earth, the sun, Jesus Christ, is the eternal light. Right now, we who have Christ are already dwelling with him in the heavenlies in Goshen. In the light. We need to learn to think of ourselves as children of the light and believe that he is so wonderful to us that the day of darkness can never overtake any of us or our children who believe in him. And that gives me a serious plea then to to all those who are stiffening their hearts to God's word. Pharaoh kept hearing the calls to come, 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 and he slowly drifted and drifted and drifted and drifted until it got to this point. Don't do it. Don't do it. Think of yourself this way. I close with this. But brethren, you are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, when it does go dark, you're not in darkness. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. They go through life sleeping. Let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not, listen to this, isn't this wonderful? God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the day of darkness cannot touch you. For Pharaoh and the world, death was around the corner. Enjoy the light you have. Walk in the light. I think you should treasure being at church, by the way. Anyone who says, I don't want to be at church, is saying, I'd rather stand in the darkness. Believe in Christ. And I close with John 8. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Amen.
Well, this ninth plague simply cannot be understated. It is a serious and severe plague that points again to the cross of Christ and that moment of darkness that he experienced so that you and I would have that eternal light in him. Well, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Our time together today found in Exodus, our series called The Plagues. To obtain a copy of today's program or the entire set, we would invite you to call or write to us here at Abounding Grace. 888-504-8805 is our number. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Another the way to reach out to us, also learn a bit more about us and who we are, would be through our website, agradio.org. Abounding Grace is also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and links to those sites are, again, at our website, agradio.org. You'll also find recent blogs, vlogs, and other information, as well as past programs, all housed at agradio.org. As we close out our time together today, we also would like to let you know that we do have a special running throughout the series here on the plagues. How to pray. Have you ever found yourself challenged about your prayer life? Wish it could be more than it is? Well, recently, Pastor Chris has gone through a series called How to Pray. It's an amazing series that we are making available on a thumb drive. That's right, a thumb drive. For a gift of $15 or more, we'll send this thumb drive your way. It contains all of the messages in this series. Again, on a convenient thumb drive that you can place into just about any device that will take an MP3. Again, for a gift of $15 or more, when you reach out to us, we'll send you this wonderful resource on prayer. Again, reach out to us at 888-504-8805. Well, let's return to Pastor Chris once again as he closes things out today with a word of prayer.
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for confronting us with a very serious reality this morning, one that we never hear much about. It's hell. And the reality of darkness that is present now and that ultimately is coming. For those who don't have Jesus, will go into outer darkness. And I pray that this would so confront anyone here who doesn't have him or who mocks him or hardens his heart to him, that they would say, what am I doing? I today come to the light. I today believe the light. And may we all enjoy that light and marvel that you've given us that light by which we will forever be in the presence of your glory in heaven, being able to see one another, know one another, enjoy one another because of the face of the Lamb, which is lit up forever and ever. And in that light and life, we pray in confidence in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. Tomorrow, our special Thanksgiving Day message. Join us then for Abounding Grace.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.